When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Everybody.
Hello.
Yeah. Did you know you're all gay?
Yes.
I'm serious.
What do you mean?
Okay. Well, I'm talking to you too, Autumn.
Yep. She's pretending she's typing. Yeah,
she's pretending to work over there. You know, my friend Andy, all my friends were over the house the other day, right? And Andy was laughing because, you know, everybody has a family member that kind of keeps like that scrapbook on you or like has the Google alert on you. Like Heidi's parents always like to see, you know, they have a Google alert so they can see paparazzi pictures of the kids. And they're always telling us like what the latest gossip is about us or whatever. Well, my friend Andy has it from her sister. She has an older sister in Canada and Winnipeg. I think it was Winnipeg. And, God, I hope it was Winnipeg. One of those cities.
Well, I think she's from Calgary, so maybe it was Calgary.
Was it Calgary? Shoot, you're right. Thank you. Anyway, and Andy goes, you know, I'm gay now. And I was like, oh. And I was like, when did she become gay? She's like, apparently when I started becoming your good friend. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, I don't know. She said, you know, because Andy's a bit of a celebrity trainer in her own right. So her sister, you know, has little Google alerts on her. And the presumption is that Andy, my friend Andy, is gay because she's friends with me.
Oh, of course. Of course she's gay.
And, which of course, she's not gay.
Yeah. Right.
And it's very interesting because I have friends from, you know, every ethnicity, every age, every orientation. Anyway, I have a lot of straight friends, men and women. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of gay friends. I don't actually have a lot of gay female friends. I have like two, I think. But I have, no, three, maybe three. I have a lot of gay male friends. I have black friends, Asian friends, Latin friends, obviously. You know what I mean? And I've never subscribed to a subculture. And we talk a lot about, you know, we've had different segments about prejudice and what's the nature of it and why and how to try to work through it and how to try to get past it. But, like, when I go to bars, I don't, you know, well, I don't go to bars often. But if ever, you know, we went out with friends and, we go out for the night. We don't go to a gay bar. We go to
a bar.
Whatever bars. Yeah, either a dive bar or the new tequila bar that opened downtown, or this great DJ is playing at this club and we want to see the DJ. Like, I don't go to a nightclub or a bar based on the people that are going to, like, what group of people are going to be there. I go because I want to hear a certain kind of music, or I go because I want, you know, if it's the tequila, like this tequila place that had opened downtown, we wanted to go and try that. Or, you know, there's a place that has ping pong. We wanted to go there. And I don't understand that. And I don't know if I've talked about this yet. This season on my team, I had a woman who was Latin. I had two contestants that are white and two contestants that are black. And I've never, have I talked about this yet?
Nope.
I've never had so much tension on my team, ever. And last season, I saw the same thing. You know, we had several contestants that were African-American, several contestants that were white, and a couple of the white contestants said, you know, the black people in the house don't really want to hang out with us, or they don't really want to work out with us. And, you know, they have an alliance, right? Because it's a reality game show. You vote people off. This season, same thing started to kind of happen. So I pulled one of my contestants aside and I was like, dude, what is going on? And she's black. And she goes, you know, Jill, it's just sometimes, you know, you have more of an affinity towards your own ethnic group, or you relate to them more. You have more in common. And, you know, you got to understand, like, a couple of my contestants are from Missouri and a couple of them are from the Deep South. Like, I'm from L.A. and I've spent a lot of time in New York. So I, you know, I don't understand that. And it kills me that because someone hangs out with me, they must be gay. And it's sort of like what you were talking about, Jake, when you were talking about, what was it, Lance Bass's show?
Yeah, I engineered that show. And the writer's gay. His boyfriend is one of the main people that's always on the show. He's gay, and most of his guests are gay. And they come on, and they automatically assume that I'm gay, too. You know, I'm quiet. I'm sitting there working the board and mixing sound or whatever. And then...
So you're gay?
Yeah, and sometimes it'll get brought up. Like, one of the guests will be like, oh, he's cute. You know, like, not to be, like, saying that kind of stuff.
But no, stop it. You're cute. You know, go on. Don't worry.
They'll be like,
don't,
oh, he's cute. Or, you know, like, sometimes they'll even, you know, come up to me and talk to me. Or, like, I can tell that they're trying to give off that vibe and trying to get something back from me.
Right.
And I don't say anything because I'm not going to be like, yo, dude, I'm not gay. And because then I don't want to assume. But Lance will always refer to me as, oh, that's Jake, our straight engineer.
Right.
Yeah.
You know how weird that would be?
They have to put the title.
Right. And you know how wrong it would be is if it was, oh, that's Jake, our gay engineer.
Exactly.
And the room, it was a straight room. Oh, he's our gay engineer. Like, if it was the other way around.
It's weird.
I don't understand, and I don't have any takeaway. I just want you guys out there to think about it the way I'm thinking about it and try to understand it and try to change it. I don't understand why we need labels. Why do you have to be, you know, why do you need a title? Why do you need a label? Why do we need to have subcultures? Why is there, this is a black club. This is a gay club. This is a Latin club. This is a, and it's so fascinating to me. And even like, you know, we were talking about The View and they're hiring, you know, different people for different spots because obviously Barbara's retiring and Joy's leaving and Elizabeth is leaving and all of that. And they're like, one of the spots has to go to a Latina because 1 in 6 Americans is Latin and they have 50% of the buying power. And I'm not saying that, you know, you shouldn't have somebody Latin in that spot. Of course you should. But the only part that struck me is it true that somebody who's Latin wouldn't feel comfortable taking advice from somebody who's not? Or is it true that somebody who's black, my friend Jeanette Jenkins is black, and she's like, you know, girl, black women want to take advice from black women. And I was like, oh, my feelings got really hurt. Because you know I like to think of myself as part of the family. You know I think I'm black. You know it, right? So I was like... no, I'm like, oh my God, that's totally not true. I'm like, I have a huge black audience. And she's like, you know, I'm just saying, it's like, you know, we want to see our own people. And I was like, we're all people, dude. Just because I don't have as much melanin in my skin doesn't mean I'm not the same as you. Just because, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, I really wish that we could spend a day not trying to put people in a box or put them in a category or give them a title or give them a label. You know, it's just Janice. It's just Jillian. It's just Jake. It's just Autumn. Like, we're just people, just like you, just like your family and your friends. And I, you know, that's one of the things I love so much about New York, is that you have all of these different cultures on top of each other. It's the ultimate melting pot. It really is. You know, you're on the subway and you've got young, old, rich, poor, black, white, Latin, Asian, Indian, and it goes on and on and on. And you're forced to commingle and be together. And it's like, it's why it's my favorite city in the world. My favorite city in the world. You get some of it in LA, not as much because we're all in our cars and it's a bigger city and it's like more spread out and there are, you know, this community and this culture and what have you. But I would just encourage people, you know, I take advice. There are experts in money, parenting, relationships that are men, women, black, white, gay, straight. And I don't go, oh, you know, you're not a short Jewish Arab gay female. You know, I don't, like, well, that's me, by the way, for those of you who are listening. My mom's a Jew. My dad was an Arab. I mean, it's like I don't have any denomination per se because I just grew up sort of accepting everybody. But I've got it all in my family. My son's half Latin. My daughter is Haitian. You know, we have two moms in our household. So I find that it's very, it divides people. It's so sad, and we miss so much, gaining so much from one another. You know, I would take advice from a host on The View, whether she was black, white, Latin, Asian, old, young, gay, straight, if I liked her. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with those factors. If I just like her as a person, you know? So think about that. And if you notice that you find yourself gravitating towards, quote, your own kind, ask yourself why. I think it comes from insecurity. Like, I know a lot of gay people when I was younger that didn't want to go to straight bars because they felt like they wouldn't be accepted. Mm-hmm. I think that's where some of it comes from, I'm guessing, is like the concern that you won't be accepted, the concern that you'll be judged. So you go where you think, well, they're, quote, like me, so they'll accept me. But in doing so, we miss so much. We miss out on so much and so many awesome people and awesome experiences. And expand your horizons, mix it up, go someplace different, engage and embrace people that are, quote, different than you. And I just can't say it enough. It matters to me for some reason. It hurts me on some sort of deep level, and I don't know why. I don't know what it is about it, but I find it so sad and so heartbreaking. And I would encourage anybody listening, if you find that you do that, if you're a gay person and you go to gay bars, go to a straight bar for once. And if you're, you know, if you are, I don't know, going to the hip hop bar, you know, maybe you could go to a salsa bar next time. Just try something new. Embrace everybody as individuals. Don't give them a label or a box or a subculture.
Well said.
We'll be right back. It's Audible time. Audible.com, you guys. They're a leading provider of spoken audio information, books, entertainment, podcasts, you name it. You can listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. If you want to listen to it, Audible has it. They've got over 100,000 titles and virtually every genre of book that you could possibly want. You'll find what you're looking for. So I decided to start reading Lean In. I'm into Lean In right now. So, yeah, check it out. They're giving away to our listeners a free audiobook and a 30-day trial. All you've got to do is sign up at www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise. That's audiblepodcast.com/exercise. www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise.
All right, we're back with some more snap. With some snap. I love this.
We got the snaps. Oh, God. You know, it's so funny. Like, when I do, I often get hired to do speaking engagements and so on. And when you get hired to go do an event, it's kind of challenging. Because if I'm having a speaking tour, they've come to see me and I know sort of what they're looking for. But when you get hired to talk to a group of executives at a certain company or, you know, you can tailor it a little bit, but you don't really, they didn't come to see you. They probably aren't a fan. You know, their company is like, we really want to talk to you guys about being healthy. And they're like, ugh, I just want to, I'm miserable. I'm here. They're on their phone. And I always like to take questions, even though I'm supposed to give a speech, because I think of it as like a menu. I, you know, for me, it's, I can talk to you about a million different things. I can talk to you about self-worth, self-esteem, overcoming fear, anxiety, worry, communication skills, skills to be more successful, skills to get out of your own way. I can talk to you about diet. I can talk to you about fitness. So there isn't like I have one subject that I'm there to talk to you about. I think of it as like a menu. And it's so much easier for me when people can ask questions because they're ordering off of a menu. So if I'm serving fish and you hate fish, even though I have a great pasta dish, I don't really know unless you're asking questions. So with this...
Yeah, you kind of lost me on the pasta and the fish analogy, but that's okay. I'll hang in there. I was with you, and then all of a sudden you went like, kind of way over here, but well, I'm like, back.
Well, here's the... So the, if the subjects I can talk about are as vast and varying as a menu would be at a restaurant.
Oh, okay, the menu,
right?
Yeah.
And then, but like you go to a restaurant and if you just show up at the table and you don't order from me, but I'm just trying to serve you what I think you want.
Oh, I got it now.
Yeah, like I might serve you our fish dish because it's great, but you don't like fish.
But I don't like the fish.
That's why questions are so much easier because it allows people to order from the menu of my repertoire.
Oh, okay. Yes. Now it makes a lot of sense.
So these snappy segments I realized have been kind of tough for me because I feel like, ugh, you know all there is to know. I've said all there is to say. It's going to be boring. But then when I kind of open it up to people's questions, it allows me to go, oh, you want to know about this? Yes, let me help you. So, and even though we do have our question segment at the end of the show, those tend to be a little bit deeper than these snappy-ish, fitness-y, diet-y, healthy segments that you wanted. So I pulled a couple.
Okay.
One we've talked about before. But I did have a new bit of news. So a woman asked me about PMS and how to best manage PMS. Now, obviously, I'm not an OBGYN. I'm not an endocrinologist, but I have worked with many. And the best information I ever got was when I was working on the doctors from a woman named Dr. Christy Funk, who has a clinic in Beverly Hills called Pink Lotus. She is the best of the best when it comes to breast cancer, ovarian cancer. She's helped Sheryl Crow, you name it. And first thing, and we've talked about this on the show, diet is key, obviously. Cutting back your alcohol before your period, the week before your period, cutting out the sugar the week before your period, exercising makes a really big difference. Supplementing with primrose oil, she said, can make a really big difference. Mm. But new research is starting to suggest that women, obviously women, because we have our monthly, you know, and we can lose iron when we're having our monthly, you know, that a lack or shortfall of iron can exacerbate PMS and make us more irritable and more grumpy. And apparently it also affects and interferes with our serotonin production. So it can cause mood swings. Like, you know how you get kind of grumpy shorts before so very simple.
Cry like a baby.
I don't cry like a baby.
Oh God, I weep.
you weep.
Oh, God. It's just anything. And yes, I'm still having my period at my age, before you say it. Yes.
You.
Yeah.
But like it's, a baby.
Oh, anything.
I'm just a bitch. I just turned into
really?
A bitch. Yeah, I just want to kill myself and everybody around me. Everybody around. I just want to just, yeah. And I so try this. I mean, seriously, 3 cups of cooked spinach can make a huge difference.
For the
so,
iron.
Yeah, yeah, and if you get it from plant-based sources, put some lemon on your spinach because it helps you absorb it, and have a cup of spinach every day, 3 days before your period. God, I hate saying that word.
I know, it's such a saucy
but
word.
Yeah, so that can really help. So, or a steak. Honestly, have a steak.
Yeah,
and it get that iron up there, and that should help. Exercise, get rid of the booze, get rid of the sugar, add the primrose, and get a little iron in there, and I think you're going to see a big difference.
Okay.
Yeah. Hydration also. Sorry, I forgot to say. Reduce sodium, because it helps reduce bloat and cramping and so on. So keep that sodium around 1,500 milligrams and make sure to hydrate.
Okay,
ready? Mm-hmm. Another question, and this one was actually really interesting. I did a little homework on it. I never thought about it, but this woman said to me, when I'm heading home from work, I'm tired, I've had a long day. Is it better if I just shoot down to the Chinese place downstairs, or if I get the food to go and eat it at home? And she said that she found she eats less when she gets it to go or she gets delivery than when she actually goes to the restaurant.
She eats less.
Yeah. And so listen to this. I did a little research about it, and I've noticed the same thing. So have you ever noticed when you go to a restaurant and the bread basket sits in front of you, you're likely to take a piece?
Sure.
But when they put bread in with your delivery, you almost always throw it out.
I never thought of that.
And the reason is because you're not sitting there waiting for your food.
Yeah.
The bread, you're bored. But what is it? Idle hands is the root of all evil. Whenever you're bored is when you get into trouble in life. And you're sitting there and waiting for your food, but the bread's come immediately. Whenever I get my food, I don't stop and go, wait, I'm going to eat my bread first and then my meal. Another thing is that it's twice as common for people to order an appetizer at a restaurant than if they order food to be delivered.
Yep.
And it's because you want to sit at the restaurant and enjoy the experience and the ambiance. So you'll get more courses so you can stay longer. And when's the last time you ordered delivery and got a dessert? How about never?
Never.
Never. And wherever we're at a restaurant and the waiter says, would you like to see the dessert menu? We always go, well, we'll take a look. Well, yeah, we'll look, because it gets suggested. So you're like, well, maybe. And then it's like, oh, the peanut butter, blah, blah, blah. We'll just have a bite. But when you're at home, you're not, no one's suggesting it to you. You're not thinking about it. You're just hungry. You just want your dinner.
Wow. It's funny that, because I would have thought the complete opposite. Because when you get to, when nobody's home and you're eating your takeout by yourself and you're just shoveling it in.
Uh-uh. It's about eating more food, though. And
They
also say that 40% of the people who go to a restaurant order side dishes versus 25% who order takeout.
Oh, for sure.
Isn't that weird? I do order side dishes, though, because I usually get sides of vegetables. Like, I don't get sides of mac and cheese, obviously, or fries. So that one doesn't change for me, because I allow myself to eat unlimited greens. So if I'm going to the restaurant, I'm going to get, the side of the steamed, the Brussels sprouts here or there. So that one doesn't really apply to me, but I read the research on it. I thought that was really interesting. So if you're on a diet, and you're not cooking, which is the best option, it's better to order in than it is to go out.
Yeah.
For all those reasons. What do you think of that?
And probably you'd order a drink, too.
That's right.
And
although if you have kids, you're going to be drinking anyway. Julia Roberts once said to me, I can't have my glass of patience. And I was like, no, girl. No. And then she was like, I don't know if I want to see you anymore.
Bye-bye now.
She somehow started training with Andy more often than she started working out with me.
Oh,
so, yeah, no glass of patience. But with that said, yeah, exactly. So I just thought that was so interesting and very true. And last but not least, I got a question about when to up your weights during your exercise. And this woman had asked us,
about, you know, she's like, I'm lifting fives and, you know, I never go past eights because it seems like that's what girls do. But I wonder, could I lift more? Should I lift more? And it's very interesting because we often put ourselves in boxes and our mental constraints will come before our physical capability. And if you think back, you know, back in the olden days, it wasn't like, oh, I can only, you know, lift up that log to help you build the cabin if it's 5 pounds. You know, you did what you had to do, not what you thought you could do. And it really, look, if you've been lifting X amount of weight for a long time, if it's comfortable, if you're no longer sore, up the ante, obviously. Yeah. Or try an exercise that has more resistance. If you're doing push-ups on your knees, do them on your hands and your feet. Up the modality, make it harder. And add a little more repetition then. Add a little more resistance with your dumbbells. And if you can maintain good form for 12 repetitions, up it. Go a little higher. Step up your game.
That's your scale, 12 reps easy.
I'd say 12. Yeah, not easy, but with good form.
Yep.
Go up. Up it. Even if you need to do, like, another thing you might want to try is go a little higher with your weight, and then as the form goes, drop back down and finish the set with lighter weights. Condition yourself. But it's so true, and all. I think I did tell it. Remember I told you that story about the Zambezi when we walked into the gorge of the river barefoot, and I was like, this is liberating, seeing what it's like to live in a culture that isn't so litigious. And, of course, we did almost die. But the point is, you know, we have been conditioned to think about, you know, what we're told we can do and never what's beyond that. So challenge yourself. Yeah. Do it gradually. It's a walk, crawl, you know, I'm sorry, it's a crawl, walk, jog, run, sprint scenario. You don't want to go from crawling to sprinting. Right. You work in the learning zone. Don't go from 5 pounds to 20 pounds. But, you know, go up 5 pounds, you know, a week. Or I'm sorry, 5 pounds every 2 weeks. See if you can maintain that good form and mix up the exercise modalities. Ooh. Snap, snap, snap.
That was snap and a half.
Snap-a-lotamus.
Snap-a-lop-a-lady.
That's right. Things have now gotten heated in my house. I am now officially in a heated competition with Heidi, Bob, and Giancarlo on Lumosity.com. Like, it's not just, you know, people get so caught up in, like, physical challenges with their workouts and, you know, competing with one another. Now it's like we're challenging ourselves with these brain exercises and we're competing with one another. It's like, it's insane. So I don't know if you're a competitive person or if you just want to improve your memory and your attention span, your problem solving abilities, your reaction time, you got to check this out. It's Lumosity.com. There are a bunch of different games that were created to work off of the neuroplasticity of your brain. It's like a personal trainer for your brain. It's the coolest thing ever, although you might end up killing your spouse if they beat you. If they beat you in one of the games, it gets very serious. But I love it. It's an absolute blast. If you want to check it out, you go to lumosity.com. You just click the start training button to create your own program and then start playing your first game. That's lumosity, LUMOSITY.com. And tell them you heard it from me, Jillian Michaels.
Okay, we are back, and Carol would like to have a talk with you.
Oh, hello, Carol.
Hello, Jillian. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. What's going on?
I am so honored to talk to you.
Well, thank you. Likewise.
So, one of the things that just keeps recurring to me is, like, how do you know when enough is enough or good enough is good enough? I know everyone says you just know. It's in your gut. It's something that you... But honestly, I feel like my gut just doesn't talk to me anymore. I'm colorblind. I don't see red flags.
Right.
I don't, you know, sure.
Well, when your gut doesn't talk to you anymore, it's like, I kind of liken it to like insulin resistance. Do you know what that is? It's basically type 2 diabetes. And what happens is when you physically ignore, your body releases all this insulin and essentially you keep eating and you keep eating crap and you literally shut down your body's ability to respond to insulin properly because you've negated the physiological response. So basically when you don't listen to that voice, for years, for a long time, maybe never have, right?
Yeah.
You literally forget how to let that sort of internal compass guide you. We kind of go numb, we shut down our feelings, and we switch everything off. So, okay, the first thing you need to start really doing is learning how to listen to that voice again. So, tell me what feelings come up for you. There are going to be things that make you feel insecure and make you feel unsure. And then there are going to be things that make you feel really good. So what's going on? The more you start listening to those feelings, the more you're able to really turn on that inner voice and flip that inner compass back on. So what's going
on? The biggest thing for me is these feelings of abandonment, right? I mean, everybody on the planet has feelings of abandonment.
Sure.
But for me, I just sort of feel like it manifests in so many different ways. So, for example, like my mother was diagnosed with frontal temporal dementia at the age of 59.
Oh.
And we built a house for us and built an in-law apartment. She could no longer live with us, had to send her to a nursing home, whatever.
Gosh, so I
feel like that's a form of abandonment to me.
Sure.
And she didn't choose that, of course, but
oh, honey, of course. I mean, of course you'd feel that way. And then most people wouldn't understand that it would be natural for them to feel that way. Then they'd feel guilty for feeling that way. And then they would get into the whole self-loathing thing. But of course you'd feel that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course. And you just hit everything. Yeah. It's self-loathing. I feel like I should have been able to do more, but I have two little girls of my own. You know, whatever. You know the story.
Yes.
My father left us when I was two, my sister was three.
Tell me, though, how this is manifesting in your relationship, because that's, you said, how do I know when enough's enough, and I have abandonment issues, and then you explained to me all the reasons why you have abandonment issues, but the reality is you know you have them, okay, which is great, but now we need to look at how are they manifesting in your current relationship and doing damage, or there's a difference between... I was in a friendship, right? And this friend did not show up to, after I threw her wedding shower, and she did not show up to our baby shower. I mean, I have two kids coming, and I threw her wedding shower, right? And she didn't show up and made up some lie about why she didn't show up. And I was like, I've had it. I can't do this with you anymore. The friendship's over. And she wrote, you're just projecting your issues and I don't deserve this. And I was like, I'm actually not projecting my issues onto this situation. You are similarly selfish and inconsiderate to people in my past. I'm not projecting, I'm repeating. And here's me stopping. So do you see the difference? So you can repeat abusive patterns in your life, and that's a relationship that needs to be left. Or we can project our issues onto a situation and create problems, fears, or anxieties that are not real, but we end up manifesting them into reality. So tell me, in this relationship, how are you seeing these issues arise?
I feel like I'm dissecting every single thing this person does.
Okay, and that's okay.
Yeah. Because I'm terrified. And I've said this to him in the past 3 weeks. Like, I'm ready for you to leave me. Like, I'm not willing it, but I'm feeling
but
like...
But you actually are willing it. So if you're engaging in a behavior that you think is going to make this person leave you, you are willing it. And that's what's so funny about fear. We always create the things we fear the most through our behavior to avoid it.
Oh.
The insecure guy that, you know, feels like the girl's cheating on him, or, you know, he calls her every hour on the hour. What are you doing? Who are you with? Where are you going? Well, what's she going to do in response to that? She's going to feel smothered. She's going to think he's overbearing. She's going to think he's nutso. And she's going to avoid him like the plague, thereby manifesting the very thing that he feared the most. So if you are dissecting him and suspicious of him and questioning him unfairly so, which is a projection, right?
I guess that's the question. What's unfair?
You tell me. Give me a scenario. Put it this way. Ready? Here. Okay. He says, babe, I'm going out bowling with the guys. I'll see you tomorrow. You then go to dinner with a friend, and he happens to be there with another woman. There's your right to be suspicious. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, now, he says, babe, I'm going bowling with the guys. And you go, I don't believe you. You don't like bowling. That's not true. You've never bowled a day in your life. I called your sister, and she says that you've never bowled. I think you're lying. Prove to me. He's given you no reason to be suspicious.
That's crazy talk. Yeah.
So
I don't want to go to crazy town.
Give me an example.
Okay, so it sounds silly now that I'm going to put words.
It's not silly. None of this is silly.
So big Lyle Lovett fan I am, and we just went a few weeks ago, and I met him. It was really, really cool. And so Matt, my boyfriend, has been listening to more Lyle Lovett stuff because I introduced him to it. So
got it.
Just sent me a text about a half an hour ago.
Okay.
Saying, I love It Ought to Be Easier. And I immediately think, he's looking to leave me, because that's what that song means. It ought to be easier to love someone or to leave when you know that it's time to go. That's the phrase of the song, and that's what he means, and that's what he's trying to say, and we're done. That's it. We're over.
Okay, ready? Here's how
crazy
I want
town.
You.
Here's, crazy town.
Here, okay. All right, wait. Hang on. I do think he might be speaking to you a little bit. I do, actually.
Oh.
It ought to be easier. I think he's telling you it ought to be easier. I do think he's telling you that. I think you need to listen. I do think that he's saying to you, hey, this doesn't need to be so hard. You don't need to be so paranoid. It ought to be easier.
He actually has said that to me a couple. Well, I'm stuck between being very forthright and not saying enough. So right now I'm like, okay,
right, sure. Because what happens is when you get angry or when you get really afraid or when you've let the pot like simmer too long, then it boils.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm all trying to be preemptive and say, okay, this is why I'm feeling X, Y, Z, because historically it's been A, B, C.
Right. Forget the history, though. Forget the history.
That's
Here's
the
what you do. No. Here's what I want you to do. Okay. So when something comes up and he sends you that song, then you're going to sit down with him and you're going to be like, oh, my God, I love that you're loving him. And then just say, here's what I want you to say. Babe, I got to ask you. I realize, you know, what that song's about. And I'm just wondering, and I could be being neurotic, but I feel like you're trying to tell me something. I feel like you're trying to say it could be easier. And like maybe I've been a little too paranoid. And just say, you know, if you feel that way, let's talk about it. I want to work on it. So you create an open forum without an attack or an accusation. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of I statements, and I'm very cognizant of them, and I try to make sure that I'm feeling X, Y, Z, but he's sort of like, do we always have to feel something? Can't we just be? Does it always have to stem from something? Like, yeah, it kind of always does. And maybe accurately, I'm hypersensitive right now.
Honey, here's what I think. Has this guy cheated on you?
No.
Has he lied to you? No, but wait, but what?
He broke up with me a while ago and then came back.
Broke up with you, why?
Because he wasn't ready to, he was Peter Pan, didn't want to grow up.
Okay.
And
he said that. He said, I'm not ready for a relationship.
After, when he came back, he did. First, it was very, you do X, Y, and Z. And then when he came back to me and said everything that I had said to him when we were actually breaking up, I'm like, you don't believe any of this. You're just scared. You're terrified of what this means and being in a real relationship and da-da-da-da-da. And he owned up to that when he came back. And I didn't take him back immediately. I made him prove that You know?
All right. When he did attack you and said you do X, Y, and Z, what did he say?
Actually, was it you do or I'm not feeling. I don't feel the way you feel about me. I don't want to spend time. It was just mean. I don't want to spend time with you. I'd rather do other things.
Okay. Well, that's real. Now you've got something real. So, of course, you're going to feel this way. Because now you've attracted somebody. I don't want to spend time with you. This or that or the other. Somebody who was mean.
And now he does, though. But now he's saying he does want to spend time. I mean, that was 3 months ago. And he's been a completely different person.
A
and
completely
I know,
different person.
Believe me.
All
I'm
right.
As skeptical as you are.
But then, honey, of course you're going to be feeling skeptical. So this is why you're torn. You now have a reason to feel skeptical. Okay? So this is... Let me tell you how this is going to work. Because... Sadly, this is not as cut and dry as we would all like life to be. I'm going to tell you that I do think you are behaving in a way that will manifest his leaving by being, if you are, you know, paranoid, by dissecting every single thing he says, by overthinking it and projecting. That is real. Yes. That's an absolute part of this conversation. And then, of course, the more you are that way, the more he's going to pull away. The more you're going to be that way, the more he's going to pull away
until it's
over, right? Now, what I would do is go into this as though it was a clean slate. Leave the history behind. And don't overthink it. Don't...
that's so hard.
I know. I hear you.
Oh,
I know.
How do you do
but
that?
Wait. When he gives you something that's real, then you can discuss it. So if he lies to you, if he says something mean to you, if he doesn't come through, if he doesn't show up, and you have something real, then you can discuss it. And I would wait for that moment. Don't anticipate it. Don't try to... circumvent it, because all you're going to do is create it. Does that make sense? You got to make a decision. If you want to stay with him, then you have to give him a fresh start.
Right. It won't work otherwise.
No. All right. Take a deep breath and blow out all of this sort of anxiety and negativity. And when you see this guy next, just try to come to the table with a clean slate and allow it to write a new chapter here. Okay?
Thank you. I will.
All right, honey.
It was so delightful talking to you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for calling.
My pleasure. You take care.
You too.
Bye, Jillian.
I really wish things were black and white, but there are some times that I can't properly assess the situation because I'm not there, you know?
No, I totally.
So I don't know why the guy left the first time, but it would sound like she was overly anxious, and then it's like, well, I'm not overly anxious, and then he left me, and now he's perfect. It's like, it's complicated.
You know what? I got a problem.
Oh.
I do.
What a shock.
Yeah, I got a problem. You know what? I don't know what I'm going to do about, you know, when I come down here, I have the gal take care of the dogs, right?
Yeah.
Kathy. Her name's Kathy. She's about 80.
About
80, and she comes into the house. What I like is she comes in the house. Mm-hmm. And the last time, I see her, and she goes, Janice, I have to tell you something. And I said, oh, Kathy, what's up? She goes, I had to put Leroy's penis in a cup.
Huh?
And I said, excuse me? Leroy's my mom's old spaniel, 14-year-old spaniel. She said, I had to put his penis in a cup of cold water. And my first reaction was not to say why, was whose cup did she put?
You
know, because I didn't, you know, thinking, my God, I don't want an old brown spaniel's wiener in my penis in my coffee. You
I
know?
Don't blame you.
Exactly. And then I said, first of all, well, what cup? And she goes, oh, it was a to-go, a Tim Hortons cup. Tim Hortons is a coffee shop up there. And then I said, now, what seemed to be the problem? why did you do that? She goes, well, he got happy, and she said it wouldn't go away. And I said, Kathy, don't, because the vet told me that I might have to help him because he's old now. And I said, no, I'm not going to help him. So sure, you know, and I haven't helped him. I just let him, you go at it, take care of it. But she thought a good idea would be to stick it in a cup of cool water.
Did it work?
No. Now, Paul, maybe you can.
I'm not even awake on that one.
That was the solution. Apparently, it didn't work, though. I had this visual of this 80-year-old woman with a coffee.
Didn't work. Cup. This whole time, I thought you had some good takeaway.
I'm asking you for help.
Did it work or not?
No. No, love doctor. So what should I do when my mom's 14-year-old brown spaniel?
Well, he's gotten along 14 years to this day, doing fine.
Well, it takes a while now. So what do you do?
Leave it.
Oh. All right. Thank you, love doctor. Put that down. Just leave it. Write that down.
Becoming a personal trainer was the best decision that I ever made. And I want to help you get your dream job as well. The National Academy of Sports Medicine helps you earn great money and a rewarding career that you're gonna love. Certified personal trainers are in high demand right now. And the National Academy of Sports Medicine is going to make your dreams a reality. They guarantee that you'll land a job within 90 days of earning your certification, or they're gonna give you your money back. And all you have to do is get started with a free 14-day sneak peek of their fast, fun, and easy online program. Just go to usatrainer.com. That's usatrainer.com. Get your certification today. usatrainer.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.